the largest country located within Europe. The land, known for its fertile soils, and that has for centuries been considered the breadbasket of Europe. The motherland of the harmonious language, rapid dance, and one of the most ancient communities, the Tripilians. Ukraine. Women comprise 54% of the country's population, and the level of women's literacy in Ukraine reaches nearly 100%. The prohibition of gender discrimination is entrenched into the Ukrainian Constitution, Article 24. However, the reality of Ukrainian life does not reflect these factors. Ukraine has been fighting the problems of gender discrimination, violence against LGBT women, rape, and women trafficking for a long time. The survey of 2014 reported that 22% of women had experienced at least one form of violence, physical or sexual, starting age 15. Only 32% of that number asked for help at social services. Numerous accounts of rape are not registered because of the fear that the act will be repeated and the stigma associated with it in society. Often, women do not know their rights or the issues are ignored by them and are perceived as allowed. From 30 to 35% of women that get hospitalized because of physical injuries are victims of violence and rape at home. The path to giving women equal rights and their protection from violence and rape is difficult, and the first step to solving the issue is realizing by Ukrainian women themselves that they have the right for help, that the beatings are not a fact of life, and that fighting for their rights lies at the heart of the solution to the problem. This report is devoted to the International Day of Violence Against Women on November 25th. My name is Katerina Gordichek from the CQT Community Radio in Montreal, Canada. We will hear the interviews that are addressing the problems of discrimination against women, women trafficking, LGBT minority in Ukraine, and specifically LGBT women in Ukraine. The interviews were held with the international right-protecting organization La Strada Ukraine that works to ensure gender equality, prevent all kinds of gender violence, as well as with the community organization Insight that provides legal and right-based help to the victims of violence and discrimination on the grounds of homophobia, transphobia, and xenophobia. To understand better why women trafficking is such a prominent and terrible issue in Ukraine, we will speak with La Strada organization in Ukraine. The foundation reports that the purpose of women trafficking can be forced marriage, forced labor, using women in the industrial and agricultural sectors, forcing them to give birth, and using women in sex business. The victims of trafficking who agree to highly paid jobs or intriguing professional opportunities often do not understand what kind of consequences will follow. A lot of trafficking cases is also for the reason that the circumstances women find themselves in force them to take the jobs in hope that this would improve their families and their individual social, economic, and financial states. CQET Community Radio is talking to Marina, the Director of Legal and Social Help Department at La Strada, Ukraine. Thank you, Marina, for your time. So the issue of gender violence in Ukraine is very difficult and it is impacted by many forces. But the issue of women trafficking is truly of a very large scale. For example, the International Migration Organization reported that between 1991 and 1998, at least 500,000 Ukrainian women were trafficked to Western countries. This is a terrifying number. Marina, could you please explain to us what the peculiarities of Ukraine and these issues are, and what are the influencing sides here?
Yes, that's true that gender-based violence in Ukraine is impressively widespread. Ukraine is considered to be one of the countries that exports, in quotes, life commodities to other countries. This is why this problem is indeed very prevalent in Ukraine. The countries on the other end are most often Russia and Turkey, but also European countries. Eastern countries such as Egypt, Iraq, and Iran are also on the receiving side. Why do we have this problem in Ukraine? It's important to note, first of all, that the issue is latent, meaning that the numbers are not expressing the reality. One of the main provoking factors is the absence of social protection of women. And there you have those women who are obliged to carry the burden of raising children on their own, providing for their parents, and generally financing all of these individuals that women feel responsible for. So the factors are the absence of social protection of women, complicated economic circumstances, and now the military conflict between Ukraine and Russia is added up. So women are completely on their own, trying to carry responsibility for their families and accepting any possible work available for them.
Because of the military conflict in Ukraine, the problem is worsening. Would you be able to tell us more about it? What kind of impact does the conflict have, and has there been any findings?
It's crucial to know the pervasiveness of gendered violence, and not only abroad, but in Ukraine itself, within the military conflict. The cases that are known to us concern sexual violence against women on uncontrolled territories of Ukraine, Donetsk and Luhansk regions. There are the two pseudo-autonomous eastern territories of Ukraine, situated next to the Russian border. Unfortunately, gendered violence very often occurs at security checkpoints separating the two countries. When women are trying to take their kids out of the military zones and they don't have the sufficient amount of money to do it, it could be an economic factor like this. But what often happens is people would be demanding more money of a woman or asking her to pay with sex services. The violence is very common in the uncontrolled regions. For example, rape by terrorist groups representatives of girls and women. Because of the fact that everything is solved using physical force, that's how the problem gets treated. Furthermore, the percentage rate of rape has grown in general, and especially the indicator went up in domestic sexual violence, in moving populations within Ukraine, and also in families of demobilized individuals, for example, those that were a part of terrorist acts and then returned to the zone of military conflict. Unfortunately, seeing and understanding how the military conflict is solved with force, they have started to apply force in families to their children, but the primary targets are, of course, women.
If we look at the history of Ukraine, has the issue of gender violence improved or worsened when the country gained its independence from the Soviet Union in 1991? What are statistics telling us about this period?
If we look at statistics again, we'll see that the awareness of people about the issue went up significantly, about human trafficking, domestic violence, and gender violence in general. At the same time, due to the amount of factors that I mentioned previously, the occurrence of those violence instances has also increased, keeping in mind that new aspects of gendered violence against women appeared. For example, if we're talking about domestic violence, La Strada has now 2 times more women victims seeking help than last year.
Concerning raising awareness in Ukraine's population, would it be safe to assume that women and girls are now more informed about the recommendations and methods of how to prevent the issue? Of course, it does not depend on the victims, and they are not the ones that have to act. But how extensive is the knowledge of young people nowadays, and what kind of recommendations and prevention methods would you mention?
As for the potential victims that could suffer from gender violence, the prevention work is needed starting with schools and reaching the risks group, people that are most likely to become victims of crimes. This is something that's known to have effects, because if a young woman is informed about how to act in certain situations, how to spot and prevent the suspicious job offering abroad, where she can become a sex slave, and if a young woman is aware of what not to do, the risk of becoming a victim decreases. Raising awareness about the issue is also done through conducting social workshops, consulting, which includes safe travel abroad and how to use the hotlines in case the gender violence occurred in Ukraine, both at home and in workplace, as well as sexual violence at workplace. Sexual violence can also happen just on the streets, and if a woman is aware of it, the risks of becoming a victim are smaller.
We know that international organizations have been fighting this issue for a long time now. What lies at the heart of La Strada NGO in Ukraine? What work do you do?
La Strada has addressed the gendered violence issue in many ways. Two national hotlines that are completely free to anyone in Ukraine, one of which can be used abroad too. The first one is for human trafficking victims and violence in families victims. And the second one is for children whose rights were violated. Other prevention methods include information campaigns. For example, right now, La Strada is in the middle of one called 16 Days Against Gender Violence. And also professional work by our specialist trainers with Ukrainian population, students, pupils, professionals who work with risk groups, professionals who work with sex violence issues, and also the preparations of some methodological materials for risk groups and victims.
Are there any stories that victims of gendered violence shared with you that impressed you deeply and you could talk about with our listeners to demonstrate how prevailing the issue is? Of course, every story is striking and is utterly terrible, but would you give us examples, please?
Yeah, each story is truly striking. But if we look at individual issues, La Strada was reached out for help by a foster mother, which means she was raising the children of families that left them. So as she was leaving the military zone of Ukraine, the uncontrolled Ukrainian territories, she was offered at the security point to either pay money to be allowed to leave the zone with 10 kids or to pay with sex services. Of course, she says that she agreed to the latter, even though it was extremely hard. But she had 10 kids that she was responsible for, and there was no other choice. She agreed that the act performed against her was rape, because she was forced to accept the conditions, having no other option. People also came to us from within the uncontrolled territories. So there was a 15-year-old girl raped just like that on the street. As for the situations when women are deprived of freedom abroad as a result of human trafficking, one of the latest cases was of a woman that was trafficked for work to Turkey. She was expecting to be a waitress, but she became a sex slave instead, gave birth to a child, and returned to Ukraine without her child, leaving the child there. The child was left in Turkey with no official documents, and the woman was in an extremely difficult state. Even though she spent 3 years there, she didn't have any IDs on her, no rights, and up to several sex clients a day, up until she gave birth to that child.
майже до самого народження дитини, вона мала по декілька клієнтів в день.
Thanks so much for sharing such important stories with us. Is international help important for Ukraine? What kind of help would be useful?
Так, звичайно, це така допомога не просто можлива, вона для України надто необхідна.
This kind of help is necessary for Ukraine, especially the one that concerns information campaigns, prevention methods, and direct support to individuals who suffered as victims of gender violence and human trafficking. Since Ukraine doesn't have a developed infrastructure for secondary human rights help from individuals abroad, the work women can get is often expensive, and free services do not work at the moment as they are supposed to. Another problem is the lack of shelters on Ukrainian territory where women victims should find or could find refuge.
I thank you very much, Marina. Gendered violence in Ukraine is very widespread in the growing LGBT community. The LGBT minority population is facing even more suppression than previously before the beginning of the Ukrainian conflict with Russia in 2014. Although the amount of organizations that are withstanding the discrimination based on sexual orientation is increasing, Ukraine has a minimum of 42 such organizations at the moment. We also see numerous cases of violence against the LGBT community, especially women. Olena Shevchenko of Insight will explain what the situation of the queer minority is in Ukraine. CQT is talking today with Olena Shevchenko, the president of the community organization Insight in Ukraine. Hello, Olena. Thank you for being able to find time. So it is very hard to understand for those of us who haven't gone through the discrimination that the LGBT community is facing in Ukrainian society, how serious homophobic dispositions are of most prejudiced inhabitants of Ukraine. Moreover, the LGBT community is not only experiencing legal discrimination, but also extraordinary violence motivated by hatred, especially LGBT women that often do not have any other choice but to hide their identity so that they stay safe. Olena, could you please explain to our international listenership where this prejudiced behavior comes from? Why do Ukrainians perceive non-standard as extremely negative and sometimes even as sickness in the worst case scenario?
Ну, по-перше, треба розуміти, що Україна зараз знаходиться дещо в іншому суспільно-політичному контексті, ніж Європа та Америка та інші країни Заходу, так званого Заходу.
First of all, it's important to understand that Ukraine is at the moment located in a very different socio-political context than Europe and North America, the countries of so-called West. Where we're used to hearing that human rights are above all and those are individual rights. Ukraine is, on the other hand, still affected by the disintegration of the Soviet Union. And the context is that human rights virtually means nothing. We used to have collective rights, but we never had individual rights and respect for the individual. The rights of minority groups are understood to be something very special, meaning when we're now talking with our politicians and the society in general about the protection of minorities' rights, we can get a reply that we want some very special rights. And they really do think that that those rights have to be extra rights and not equal rights for all. The problem, I think, is very deep, and the violence on the ground of hatred. And even the talks of our politicians lead further to the discrimination of the LGBT population. They are present, and I can even tell you that after the Maidan revolution, the rate of violence has increased. That's because people are angry, the economic situation of Ukraine is weak, and people do not really want to think about some kind of rights of the minority. The discourse now is that there is no time for the minority's rights. What does it mean? Well, it means that there is an urge to solve economic, poverty, and well-being issues. And all those women's rights, minorities' rights, people's rights with disabilities issues, ethnic minorities, refugees' rights, towards whom we now have a big risk of xenophobic attitudes, that you're talking about, there's really no time for it right now.
Жінок, які входять до ЛГБТ спільноти, розумієте, це подвійна дискримінація, тому що вони дискримінуються як жінки, і вони дискримінуються як
The issue of women who are part of LGBT communities is really a double discrimination, because they are discriminated against as women and as LGBT people. It means that if you are double prejudiced, you have discrimination in both the majority, so the heterosexual society, and the LGBT community itself as a woman. That's because we still have this kind of prejudice against gay women by gay men, who still consider themselves men, even though they identify as gay men, and who think that women are not supposed to be equal to them. Consider instances of rape on the streets. We hear that a lot of this kind of violence is directed, first of all, at gay men, because they're more visible. They are beat up, killed, and gay women are beat up, killed, and raped. And gay women are talked about much less, as well as transgender people, because it's not considered to be such a big problem for the society. A man's sexual orientation is noticed faster than women's, and he is more valuable in our patriarchal society. Speaking about rape on the streets, the most affected group is those people who are more visible. Very often, those are muscular women that differ significantly from most Ukrainian women, and also feminine gay men. Those are the groups that can be identified right away on the streets. From the stories that I personally heard, usually rape is performed by those people who are close to the victim, meaning someone from a person's close circle of friends. Why is it happening? Well, in Ukraine, we have this stereotype of educating, disciplining homosexuality. People think that if this man rapes a woman, a gay woman, then she will become a heterosexual woman. Well, in Ukraine, there's no talking about it, also because these gay women do not go to the police. There, they face a different sort of problem. Going to the police and complaining about being raped is considered to be very shameful. Our culture does not encourage that. We see a lot of different programs on TV, in articles and research, where people say that a woman provoked a man, and that's why he did it. And now add that to the fact that she's a gay woman. So here you're coming to the police and feeling double violence as a result. There's plenty of evidence when people belonging to LGBT communities, first of all, women and transgender people, felt extreme discrimination and cruelty when they went to the police.
Вони належать до ЛГБТ-спільноти, перш за все, жінки та трансгендерні люди, вони відчували знущання та насильство саме там.
Olena, could you tell us a little about your organization's work and activism in general directed at eliminating violence against LGBT community and women specifically? Besides the shelter, what other services do you offer?
Ну так, звичайно, shelter – це наша нова програма, яку ми започаткували попереднього року.
Yes, of course. The shelter's new program that we started last year is a response to the situation that's formed in the east of Ukraine. We have existed since 2008. From the start, we identified as an LGBT initiative, and we focused mostly on women and transgender people. We're a feminist group, and we work with feminist organizations in Ukraine and internationally. We have several directions. We work on the legal level, trying to change Ukrainian and international legislations by using shadow reporting, releasing statements. We cooperate with international organizations, and we help the LGBT people in our community, where we offer legal services, psychological consultations, gynecologist services, all of that is free. And we conduct seminars and trainings for various societal groups on civilization, meaning recognition of the LGBT community. We also try to operate on the cultural level. Next week, we're opening an Equality Festival lasting 4 days with lots of events. Within this festival, we're attempting to merge the political and cultural discourses about the LGBT community. And on the larger level, the festival aims to unite various groups who face discrimination and to show the society that the roots of the problem are all the same, that it all comes from inequality and hatred directed at differences as a larger concept.
Випливають з нерівності людей і з ненависті саме до іншого як концепту.
In this wonderful country, there's still definitely room for improvement. However, the most important step that can be made by the government, Ukraine's population, and women themselves is to recognize that the problem of non-disappearing discrimination and gender violence exists and is growing during the conflict in the country. My name is Katerina Gordychuk, and this segment is a part of an audio series produced with support from the Global Fund for Community Radio of the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters and Bread for the World. In this documentary, you heard traditional Ukrainian music performed with instruments such as kobza and cymbale. I would also like to thank the Ukrainian Canadian Students Union for allowing me to use the recording of the Ukrainian traditional music that they own. I also thank Daria Naumova, who helped me to translate and voice the interviews with La Strada and Insight from Ukrainian to English.